You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Yesterday, we honored and celebrated the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. It's easy to forget how often Dr. King was reviled for his work during his lifetime by white opponents, including many mainstream political figures. Even so, Dr. King had support from all across the country, including in Michigan. United Auto Workers Union President Walter Reuther went above and beyond in his support of Dr. King. In fact, the UAW helped to organize the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. With us to shine some light on the work of Walter Reuther and the UAW is Gavin Strassel. He's a UAW archivist with the Walter P. Reuther Library, Archives of Labor and Urban Affairs at Wayne State University. Gavin Strassel, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Can you start us out with a little background on Walter Reuther and how he came to his position at the head of the UAW?
Absolutely. So Walter Reuther was the president of the United Auto Workers from 1946 to 1970. He came from West Virginia, then came up to Detroit to work in an auto factory. And after a certain amount of time, he realized how passionate he was about the labor movement and joined kind of the burgeoning auto workers organizing movement that was taking place in Detroit, which before that time was a very anti-union town. And so he kind of came up as a leader in the labor movement as the auto worker movement was getting started. And as an officer, he kind of rose through the ranks, became probably the most prominent labor leader in his time, if not the most influential. So he was a part, as president of the UAW, he bargained for some gains for workers that were really transformational, things like, you know, not just better pay, but pensions, guaranteed annual wage, things like vacation time, that really lifted a whole sector of workers, not just auto workers, but lifted them into the middle class.
You mentioned this is a guy who came from West Virginia. Did he always see a connection between civil rights and the labor movement? I mean, was there much in his life experience that prepared him for the workforce that he would join in Detroit?
Absolutely. His father, Valentine Reuther, actually was a trade unionist in West Virginia, part of a brewery workers union, and he was also a socialist. So for the early years in Walter Reuther's life, he too was a socialist. And I think his father really instilled that teaching that I think all people are created equal. They all deserve labor rights. They all deserve dignity at the workplace. And that's something that Walter carried with him throughout his life from his early career in the labor movement until his passing in 1970.
So what do we know about how Walter Reuther met Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and how they began to collaborate?
So I don't know if there is that exact moment where they met each other, but around the late 50s or early 60s, it's clear that Walter saw that Martin Luther King was this rising star in the civil rights movement, but more than that, was someone that understood just how close he believed the civil rights movement should be to the labor movement. You know, Martin Luther King did more than just preach civil rights. He also advocated against things like right to work, better wages, minimum wage, things like that. And so Walter very early on, you know, became a strong supporter of Martin Luther King, put the resources of the UAW and also the International Union Department within the AFL-CIO that he was in charge of behind Dr. King, and, you know, probably did more to support Martin Luther King Jr. than any other labor leader in terms of like resources that he provided, money, organizing capacity, and things like that.
Can you give us a sense of how integrated Detroit's union scene was to this point?
Parts of it were quite integrated. I think if you look at the largest UAW local 600, which represented workers at the massive Rouge factory in Dearborn. A lot of black workers had been there for years and were very active in that labor union within its leadership. A lot of the UAW's most prominent black leaders came from locals like that. Of course, there were other locals and groups within the UAW that were hesitant to supporting civil rights, racial equality, were hostile to black workers. And that was something that Walter had to fight with throughout his career. But if you look at the views of auto workers on things like race, racial equality, it was much more ahead of its time than workers in other sectors. And that really is something that Walter Reuther was responsible for as president of his union.
Some people may be aware of the fact that there was a march and a speech that Dr. King gave in Detroit in advance of the famous March on Washington that was a precursor to a lot of the themes and a lot of the language that would come to define the movement after the March on Washington. And the earlier events in Detroit were something that the UAW got involved in. How did the UAW come to be involved in the Detroit March?
So Walter Reuther was part of a coalition that mostly consisted of church leaders from many of Detroit's black congregations that created this event, also along with civic leaders and political leaders in the city. Also, Walter had already been in the planning stages of the March on Washington, so he was part of a larger group that brought Dr. King to Detroit. It was the largest civil rights demonstration up until that point. 125,000 people marched down Woodward, led by Dr. King, but also Walter Reuther and a lot of the religious leaders that were involved in the planning. Also, there's no actual proof of this, but the legend is that, you know, they gave Martin Luther King Jr. an office at Solidarity House, the headquarters for the UAW in Detroit for that event, and that he wrote part of the I Have a Dream speech that he gave the earlier version of at Cobo Arena later that day within the offices of the UAW's headquarters.
So you mentioned that many auto workers at the time had really relatively progressive views based on what was going on in other U.S. workforces. But, I mean, it's also true that not everybody was on board at that point. And I imagine there must have been racist union members who felt that they didn't want their union dues going for this, you know, organizing this and helping to fund the march in Detroit. Did Reuther have to deal with any backlash from his membership for getting this together?
Constantly. This backlash was felt, you know, within the state of Michigan and the Midwest, but most strongly in the factories that had been organized by the UAW in the South. There were a lot of protests against integrating those factories. You know, a lot of workers threatened to walk out and pull a wildcat strike to protest having to work side black workers. And Walter Reuther, early on as president, put a strict no discrimination clause within every contract that the union negotiated for. So this was something that was like a core part of the UAW's platform, having equal rights for all the workers it represented. Every time a hate strike like that came up, he would take the side of the people pushing for integration, pushing for civil rights. He said repeatedly that he would be fine losing dues-paying members than giving in to their demands to maintain their racist practices.
Hmm. For Dr. King's part, was there any reticence within the civil rights movement about working with the UAW?
That's a good question. I haven't seen anything like that. Of course, you know, any social movement is very large and diverse, like the civil rights movement was at the time. But it really seemed to be that Dr. King's wing of the civil rights movement was very eager to work with the UAW, you know, maintaining a presence in various cities, holding mass demonstrations. These things take a lot of money, but also require a lot of organizing. And so Dr. King really relied on groups like the UAW to provide those resources to make them possible. The UAW was a major financial contributor to his works, but also Walter Reuther put the resources that the UAW had built up, becoming such an important union in the country, at the disposal of Dr. King. So, you know, he would have staffers work on these different campaigns within the civil rights movement. He would put publications that the UAW printed that were distributed internationally. He would put messages from Dr. King within there. There may have been hesitancy to work with another organization like the UAW, but from what I've seen, there wasn't a strong pushback against that sort of thing. And in fact, they were very closely tied to each other.
Although Dr. King's words from that period are rightly what people tend to remember from that time, Walter Reuther also spoke at the March on Washington, and we've got a little bit of a recording from that speech. Let's listen to this short excerpt.
Fellow Americans and friends, I am here today with you because with you I share the view that the struggle for civil rights and the struggle for equal opportunity is not the struggle of Negro Americans, but the struggle for every American to join in. For 100 years, the Negro people have searched for first-class citizenship. And I believe that they cannot and should not wait until some distant tomorrow. They should demand freedom now, here and now. It is the responsibility of every American to share the impatience of the Negro Americans. And we need to join together, to march together, and to work together until we bridge the moral gap between American democracy's noble promises and its ugly practices in the field of civil rights. American democracy has been too long on pious platitudes and too short on practical performance in this important area. Now, one of the problems is what I call that there is too much high-octane hypocrisy in America. There is a lot of noble talk about brotherhood, and then some Americans drop the brother and keep the hood.
That's Walter Reuther, then president of the United Auto Workers in 1963. My guest today is Gavin Strassel, the UAW archivist at the Walter Reuther Library at Wayne State University. Gavin Strassel, it's interesting to me that Walter Reuther chose to focus on the concept that civil rights were something that white people should be worried about. Was that a very popular opinion at the time?
I don't think it was, especially within the labor movement. He really was at the forefront of that concept. He was probably the biggest advocate of the concept of social unionism. Labor unions needed to do more than just work to get better economic gains for their members, that they had to use the resources they had at their disposal to enact greater change on society, whether that be civil rights, environmental concerns, things like that. And a lot of other leaders within the labor movement at the time, most notably George Meany, the head of the AFL-CIO, really pushed back against connecting the labor movement to people like Dr. King. He thought he was too radical, that maybe something like the March on Washington would lead to riots. But Walter Reuther really saw the labor movement as having a moral obligation to support causes like civil rights, that if they didn't do that, they would lose their standing with workers, that it would be an immoral thing to do because every person deserves to be treated equally at the workplace. I think one of the more interesting things he would do is he knew not everybody would respond to this moral argument, so he would also try to make a practical argument to people and trying to get them to accept civil rights in that way, showing that if one class of workers are paid less than another, an employer is going to go with the worker they have to pay less. So if everybody is paid the same, then they won't be able to undercut the solidarity of the workers. So there's a strong practical argument to be made for civil rights from the union standpoint. And Reuther made that in addition to the more moral and emotional argument.
Was the relationship that Dr. King and Walter Reuther had in 1963, was this a one-and-done kind of situation?
Absolutely not. You know, they had been working closely together in the years before that at the UAW's 25th anniversary celebration in 1960. They had a big event at Cobo Arena, what was then called Cobo. They flew Dr. King up to be the speaker of honor at the event. He, among other things, he said, "America is a better place in which to live as a result of the great work that has been done by the UAW," and then later described Walter Reuther as one of the truly great persons of this generation. And I think from there, they took on a lot of projects together. Another great example of this was during Dr. King's demonstrations in Birmingham, when hundreds of protesters were arrested by Bull Connor and being held in jail indefinitely, waiting to be released on bail. Martin Luther King reached out to people to help him out who connected him to Walter Reuther. And Walter Reuther, as head of the UAW and with his connections in the AFL-CIO, raised almost the entire $200,000, at the time a huge sum of money, to release these protesters because they would only accept cash at the courthouse in Birmingham. He had to send two staffers, his personal assistant and the head of the anti-discrimination department, down from Detroit to Birmingham with belts under their coat that were full of hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash to release these prisoners to get them out of what was a horrible situation. But I think this just really speaks to, you know, how committed Reuther was to civil rights and how he thought it was necessary for an organization like the UAW to take that risk and to send basically a bag of money down to the South to help out these demonstrators and Dr. King's cause.
So, Gavin, by the middle of 1970, both Martin Luther King and Walter Reuther had died. MLK, of course, was assassinated while he was helping striking workers in Memphis. And Reuther and his wife died in a plane crash. Was the partnership that they built something that lasted beyond their lives when other leaders were taking the helm at both movements?
I think so. You know, at the memorial service for the Reuthers in downtown Detroit, one of the speakers was Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s wife. She would go on to speak at UAW events like their constitutional conventions in the years after that. For the UAW's part, they stayed committed to civil rights and I think still are to this day. I think an amazing example of this is the UAW's support for the anti-apartheid activists like Nelson Mandela in South Africa, and the way the UAW used their connections in government to put pressure on the South African government to end apartheid and to support a lot of those activists, many of whom were labor leaders in South Africa. When Nelson Mandela, then president of South Africa, toured the U.S., he stopped at the Rouge factory in Dearborn wearing a UAW jacket and said, "I'm a member of your union." And I really think that speaks to how strongly connected the civil rights movement and the UAW were in the years following.
I did not know that story.
There are some great photos of it. That jacket actually is still on display at the UAW's educational facility in Northern Michigan.
Gavin Strassel is the UAW archivist at the Reuther Library at Wayne State University. Gavin, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me. This was great.